He quit a six-figure corporate job. His name is Dante. He's 31 years old because he's making six figures from two homes. That's the power of co-living. And it's consistent income. These people are staying for years.
Mic check.
I'm good.
Mic check. Mic check.
You can read about success all day long, but if you don't put in the work, the mindset, execution, and the hustle behind your vision, it just remains a dream.
When everything goes wrong, you have to take all the responsibility.
We uncover what high-level entrepreneurs, business owners do to rise up from hustling daily.
So do what you feel passionate about. Take chances.
The world becomes your library to help you to become better at your craft.
Join me as I share with you actionable tips to help you grow your business, learn skills, and help you level up in your self-development journey.
Your number one spot for business and personal growth is the Online Hustlers Podcast with your host, Esteban Andrade. Every day I'm hustling.
What's going on, everyone that is listening to this Online Hustlers Podcast that is now turned into REIpreneurs? The REIpreneurs Podcast is a new version of the Online Hustlers, where we were hustlers, now we're true entrepreneurs. That full first season was amazing because we had over 70 millionaires that were able to share nuggets here in this podcast, here in this studio or online, and was just telling us all the secrets. And this time, we're going to brand it to REIpreneurs. So this is the second episode, and we have someone that has quite a good story, quite a good product, and a great mission for his company to help the real estate space change for the best. If you've heard of Airbnb, of course you've heard of Airbnb. We don't currently have the CEO of Airbnb right now. We will at some point. But there's a model that actually competes with Airbnb that is even more profitable in the long term and ultimately helps you actually generate the wealth that you want to create for yourself in the real estate space. And that secret has been hidden for some time. Like, a lot of people really don't talk about this a lot. People are sometimes unaware because Airbnb and short-term rentals are so popular right now. But the people are missing out on the one opportunity of doing it properly with Sam Weigert and what his company does and how he teaches people to actually get to financial freedom and ultimately get wealth. Okay, so I'm gonna give him the opportunity to tell us two to five great things that they're working on right now and that they have accomplished in the last 12 months or even last quarter, and kind of like their vision, because they've provided a way so that you not only rely on things like short-term rentals in order to make a lot of profit from your rentals, but there's also something called co-living. And you may think that you know it all or you know enough about it. Trust me when I tell you that we don't know about it. We don't know about it enough. We don't know the secrets behind co-living and how we're developing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of doors and getting to that place where you need to be or where you want to be in a faster pace. So it's kind of like a hack, all right? So I'm going to have Sam here just be part of this. Tell us the 2 to 5 great things that you have achieved in the last 3 months with your company and kind of like your mission here.
Yeah, man. First of all, thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the podcast. Super excited to kind of share what we're doing in the real estate space. And I love the way you opened this. You said, hey, Airbnb is kind of what we all know. It can have these crazy cash flows. One of the things that we're doing right now is we're helping people. We have over 150 people that we're helping get to financial freedom in what I believe is the fastest way that's stable. And that is through this model called co-living. It still produces high returns. But ultimately, it's a more stable type of an asset class, and it's in something that's actually needed, which is affordable and workforce housing. Anybody listening to this knows if you live in a major city in the United States right now, you know rents have increased and housing prices have increased way faster than incomes have increased, and so therefore we're pricing more and more people out of the rental market and definitely out of the buying market. And so co-living comes in as a way to provide housing for anybody between, you know, that makes $25,000 to $60,000 per year that just has a tough time affording a normal place to live. So I'm really proud that we're taking people. We just hit, I think, 150 people in our mastermind. And myself and my team are just handholding these people, helping them use this model to become financially free as fast as possible. So that's a big dream. We only started coaching people on this about a year ago after my episode went live on Bigger Pockets, which is a really big real estate podcast that I was on. And so that kind of spurred our growth and got really built awareness around it. So that's number one. Number two, I would say we've just started ground up development of co-living buildings. So right now, what we normally do is we'll take a single family house and we'll convert it so it has a lot of bedrooms and bathrooms and people can share this house. This is also known, some people call this house hacking, so we call it shared housing. But right now what we've done is we own two pieces of land. We're closing on another piece of land next week. And we just made an offer on another piece of land, a 4-acre plot in Charlotte here. And what we're going to be doing is building from the ground up with exactly as many bedrooms and bathrooms for co-living, which is a really, really, really cool concept because it's going to be designed and built from the beginning. There won't be any rehab. You won't have to add any walls or doors. And we can get into all of this. I know I'm kind of like jumping the gun here a little bit on maybe some questions you might be asking. But the ground up development is really cool. And then if I had to give you a third thing, my company just recently launched something called the White Glove Service. And what this allows, we had a lot of people doing this model on their own. And what we decided to do was create this service where people could have us literally do everything for them. Find the property, rehab it for co-living, manage it, put the tenants in, and they just get a check. And so that's been a really, really cool thing that I've built a company around. It was a company I built to buy myself properties, my wife and I properties. But now we get to offer that to more people, which is really, really cool.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into a little bit more of maybe there's a lot of people that are not really 100% familiar with how the model works.
Yeah, fair.
How you market for it. How do you get the sales done? How do you fulfill? Because at the end of the day, it's kind of like another exit strategy, right? On the properties that you get, right? And the fulfillment, it's a little bit that different in there. You aim towards another way of making money with the same type of property. So if you can give us a little bit more example for people that are not 100% familiar with it.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with it, then yeah, the common question is like, wait, what the heck is co-living? So co-living is basically where you take a single family home and instead of renting it to a single family to produce cash flow, and as if anybody's in real estate, you know right now, because prices have gone up, because interest rates are where they are, it's very difficult in any city in the United States, unless you're maybe in the Midwest or in some very rural area, but in any of the major cities, it's very difficult or impossible to find single family homes that actually produce good cash flow or any cash flow for that matter with the prices and the interest rates. And so this is a way where you rent out a single family home, but you rent it by the bedroom. And I fell into this model when I just started renting rooms. I come from a big family. I've got 8 brothers and sisters, and we grew up in a 1900 square foot house. So imagine 8 kids plus 2 parents. So I'm used to a lot of people sharing a house. So co-living wasn't a difficult thing for me to wrap my head around, but I kind of fell into this model because, you know, before I got married, I just wanted to have friends in the house. I didn't really want to live by myself. And I was dating a girl in Washington, D.C. So I didn't need, you know, she would come down, but not that often, or I would go up there. And so I kind of fell into this model and then realized some of these homes that I was renting out rooms, I was doubling the cash flow that I could normally get if I rented it out as a single family home. And that was with only 4 tenants or 4 people sharing the house. So then I just kind of went on this journey. And I know this might sound crazy to some listeners, but I went on this journey of being like, well, could 5 people share a house? What about 6? Could 7? Could 8? Could 9? And the last 2 homes my wife and I personally owned and launched are 10 bedroom homes. And you might be like, what? 10 people? How do 10 people share a home? How do they not kill each other? And we can talk about all of that, but that's in essence what co-living is. It's a room rental, shared housing type model. And now what we do is we go into a house and we take all the extra space. We'll take the dining room, we'll take an extra living room, we'll take the basement, we'll make it into bedrooms as long as we leave one common space where we furnish and put desks and for people to kind of hang out, eat, and work if they need to. So it kind of becomes a little bit of a co-working space, one space for that, the rest of the house becomes bedrooms.
Yeah, that's good. So what's one of the biggest difference and like maybe what people don't really talk about and they just leave it for the $1,000 to $1,000 course between Airbnb and a co-living and a successful Airbnb versus a successful co-living?
Well, successful Airbnbs are built on, you're saying like compare successful Airbnb and success. Yeah. So successful Airbnbs, and I have Airbnbs too. And what we've found in our markets, and I'm in North Carolina, is that, you know, you need to be luxury. You need to be very luxury, right? If you have the pool, great. You need a game room. You need the best bedding. You need the best mattresses. Like Airbnb used to not be competitive. Now it's insanely competitive, right? And so the more you can sleep, the better. And so a lot of the Airbnbs that I have are these very large luxury type Airbnbs. And if something happens with that Airbnb, like for example, I had a party at one the other day, a party I did not know was going to happen. And this is at a property in Asheville, North Carolina, $1 million property, big view, sleeps 26 people. And the neighbors called the cops and they reached out to Airbnb and Airbnb calls us and says, hey, we're going to delist your Airbnb for a month. And it was the month of July, which is normally like a $30,000 month. And I was like, really? So I'm kind of getting off a little tangent from your direct question, but luxury and doing things right, that works in the Airbnb space, right? In co-living, you're catering to a completely different market. You're catering to someone who makes 20. Think about when you walk through your day, who replaces the tires on your car? Who serves you at Walmart? Who picks up your groceries at Target? Who drives you in your Uber? Somebody who makes $20,000 to $60,000 per year. And if the average rent for a single, you know, studio apartment in Charlotte is about $1,300 to $1,500 plus utilities, you can't afford a studio apartment. So you got to figure something else out. And that's where co-living comes in and solves affordable housing. So what do you need to be successful in co-living? You just need a room in a decent area that's upcapped decently well. But your Airbnb and co-living, you're just catering to a complete... Airbnb is something that people pay for out of disposable income. It's something people want. I want a nice vacation. Co-living is something people need. I can't afford a studio apartment. I need something that's $800 that includes all my utilities that I can afford. And so hopefully I kind of did a good job of explaining the difference.
What would you say now? Like, cause I went through college. I went through high school, college. In college, I had to live with roommates and so on. And it has, you know, one kitchen, you pick your roommates, you ultimately have maybe 3-4 roommates, depending on the size of the house. That model, which is the traditional landlording, right? To what you teach and the way that you do things and how it works. Like, what would you say was one of the biggest things that you would do differently?
Well, yeah, I have two thoughts on that. One is I have a quick question for you. When you think back to when you had roommates, was that a good experience for you or a bad experience? I'm just curious because I ask this question to people all the time. I'm curious your experience.
When I picked my roommates and I knew when, you know, how they lived, you know, and I knew them, it was good, but there was a lot of friction. But majority of the times, if it was like a new roommate, like the experience was not the greatest. I had to like keep myself from saying things, doing things, things like that. So not the best.
So a lot of people, when they think about this co-living thing, they think back to their first time with roommates, just like you did, right? They're like, well, I've done roommates before, but it was usually in college. For a lot of people, that was some of the most fun times of their life. So they have a good experience. And basically it's what I'm talking about is basically college living. It's dorm living, but it's for adults.
Yeah.
So we don't focus on college students at all. Out of the 300 tenants that my company oversees in Charlotte right now, you know, we have probably 2 college students, maybe 3. It's not for that. It's for the young working professional. Now, imagine if you trusted, instead of you having to vet the tenants, instead of you having to choose the people you live with, imagine you came to a company like my company, And we were the ones responsible for vetting the tenants, but we had super high standards. we said, hey, you know, we're running a full background check on them. We're going to do a phone call interview them. We're going to actually do it. We're going to do an in-person showing. We're going to kind of talk about who's in the house. And then we have the ability to give anybody a 30-day notice. So if someone's causing an issue in the house, our company can come in and say, hey, you're causing an issue. You have 30 days to leave. Because that's how we write it in our lease, our membership agreements, is we have the ability to keep the peace. And so you don't have to. You can just pay for your room. You know there's other people sharing this house, but ultimately you get the idea of someone else is overseeing everything. That's why people right. like it. That's why they have that. So yeah, that's kind of the difference, is it's not really college age focused. This is people who have jobs. Maybe they work from home, or maybe they're in an income bracket that America seems to has kind of left behind, quite frankly.
Yeah. And do you happen to maximize the amount of rooms that you can provide within one space, or do you do any modifications to the property?
We always do modification to the property. Yeah.
What type?
So if we buy a house and it's 1,500 square feet, and I'm saying this is an authentic thing. I have looked at thousands of co-living homes. So the formula I'm about to give your listeners is not from me guessing. This is from me looking at thousands of these homes. A 1,500 square foot home is a 4-bedroom home. I can always find a way to get 4 bedrooms out of 1,500 square feet and still keep the kitchen, of course, and still keep the one common area for people to eat and hang out and work at a desk, etc. If it's 1,750 square feet, it's going to be a 5-bedroom home. Every 250 square feet you add on to that is going to equal an additional bedroom, no matter how many bedrooms it actually has. So if you come to me, if you say, hey, Sam, I've got a 2,750 square foot house. How many rooms could I get out of that? You follow my formula, 1,500 add 250 is 1,750 is 5, 2,000 is 6, 2,250 is 7, 2,500 is 8, 2,750 is 9 rooms. And you're like, wait, how do you know that? Well, I just know because I know how we utilize space. In co-living world, you modify to the space. The only way this isn't accurate is if it's one of those really, let's say it was built in the 2010s, and it's this open concept floor plan where the living room flows into the dining room to the kitchen, and it's these tall ceilings. And then it just gets a little weird. You don't want to put a wall that makes the home just odd and weird. You want the older homes that are already a little bit more boxy, that already have a little bit of, you know, maybe they sit on the market a little longer because they're just not the open concept that people want right now. You know, they want everything open.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, as a co-living investor, you're looking for those homes. And yeah, then you're going in, you're putting in the walls and the doors, you're making bedrooms, and then you're making sure that you have at least a 3-to-1 bedroom to bathroom ratio. So that means if it's got 2.5 baths, you know, I may need to add a half bath. I might need to take that half bath and make it a full by adding a stand-up shower. I might need to add a full bath. But those are the modifications you're probably doing. You know, I'm not a flipper. I don't do big rehabs. That's not my super skill, but I can add doors, walls, and some bathrooms. That's pretty easy. So normally the homes that we find, you're in real estate, you know this, and you operate on this. In real estate, there's this concept called the highest and best use. So in a co-living house, what's the highest and best use of the dining room? A bedroom. As long as you have another place for them to eat, the highest and best rooms for the space is to use as many bedrooms as we have. And I'll say this, and then I'll turn it back to you. And that is, there are enough bedrooms in America right now to completely solve homelessness, to completely solve all affordable housing issues. We just aren't using them for the highest and best use. We're just not using them. They're empty.
Yes. Yes. That is correct. That is totally correct. So when someone acquires, the way they acquire properties right now, and I guess I'll have to ask you this question more, but when someone is working with you or the way that you do things, how do you market to acquire these properties? Like, so the traditional way with the realtor or with a wholesaler? Like, do you have some secret formula to do it? And whenever you're putting together all the pieces and the infrastructure to make it co-living friendly and then operating it, if you walk me through that, like, what do you give to your students? How do you coach that?
Yeah, the hardest part about co-living, the most difficult thing about co-living right now, is learning to have the systems in place to manage it.
Mm.
Like, imagine trying to manage a short-term rental before Airbnb came out, right?
Yeah.
A little difficult. Sure, you've got the little companies that'll do it. VRBO is probably around, but it wasn't just this, it wasn't as easy. Airbnb made it easy to do it. And so co-living right now is in that stage where it's a little bit nuanced. You have to have systems in place. And so one of the biggest things I give to our students is I give them the systems to manage the tenants, to organize the house, and then to handle disputes or anything that happens should there be something that arise. We also give them legal structure, because right now in the United States, there's some legal, you know, there's some jurisdictions have these rules about how many unrelated people can live in an area. So we give them a legal framework, something we call membership agreements. So we don't use leases. We use something called membership agreements. We create these membership clubs, basically, similar to maybe a fraternity club, kind of, just so people have that in their minds. And then, you know, that club rents the house and those members get to use the house. It's basically, without going super deep into that, it's a legal way that we can operate in almost any jurisdiction. So that's a lot of what we coach our students through and making sure they have the correct way to do that. And, you know, some people will say, oh, well, that sounds like too detailed or too nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
It is nuanced, but I want you to imagine that you could become financially free, which is the dream of all Americans, most Americans, with as few as 4 to 5 homes, with each home consistently giving you somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000 per month in income. And that's not I'm not promising that. I'm saying this is what we're seeing. So you do the math. If you need $100,000 to live and be financially free, and you have homes that are producing $2,000 to $3,000 a month. I interviewed someone yesterday. I'm doing a challenge this week, a 5-day challenge. And I interviewed someone yesterday who bought 2 homes in Los Angeles, one of the most expensive cities in the United States. He makes $5,500 off of the first one in net revenue, and he makes $2,500 off the second one. Now, the reason he makes $5,500 off the first one is because he converted the garage to some additional bedrooms. So he's getting like an one room in LA rents for like $1,200, $1,300.
Yeah.
Right. So he's getting an additional like $3,000 just from 2 rooms in the garage.
Yeah.
Right. My point in saying that is he quit a 6-figure corporate job. His name is Dante. He's 31 years old because he's making 6 figures from 2 homes. That's the power of co-living. And it's consistent income. These people are staying for years. It's not like, oh, I hope I get a booking this weekend and I hope someone else doesn't lower their prices so that I get my booking and I have to check my price. It's not that, right? It's people are living here. This is home. One of the beautiful things about co-living, and you have an advantage because you're a wholesaler and you know that game. I don't know that game. That's not a game. I do not know that. That's not my super skill. I've bought every single home with the exception of one directly from the MLS. But most people will tell you, well, there's no way you can buy directly from the MLS and still make money. You're right. Unless you have a strategy like this or something like this that forces cash flow on an asset that really increases the cash flow. And so, yeah, the truth is, I would say 90% of my students are buying directly from the MLS. The other 10% have connections to wholesalers, or they're trying to do stuff, you know, sub-2, or they're door. I got a few students that do that door knock and make calls every day. But you don't have to do that in order to find cash flowing properties, which is in the market today is pretty insane.
Yeah, I love that, dude. At the end of the day, I think that if people think that, oh, there's a lot of nuance to the co-living and whatever, if you're really looking for wealth, if you're really looking to grow a big company, because this is a company, or like a company that is going to make it well, and for the long term, you have to know how to follow trends. You have to know how to innovate. You have to also understand your avatar, because you always will have an avatar. And, you know, creating the club and stuff could be like maybe a little bit of a nuance, but it's a really good way to market. It's like guaranteed a marketing channel to attract people and can retain people to pay you for a really long period of time.
Dude, so well said. That's so well said. Are you familiar with the concept? I know Russell Brunson talks about it a lot. The red ocean, blue ocean. Concept.
Go for it.
Yeah, I'll kind of maybe just try to talk about it for a minute in case someone hasn't heard of it. But like, there's this idea, and I forget, someone wrote a book. I think it's called Blue Ocean, and I think that's where kind of the concept originated from. And I haven't read the book, but I've heard the concept a lot. It's basically this idea that every investment at one time, eventually, if it's a profitable type investment, becomes a red ocean. And the reason it's red is because he gives the analogy of you walk up to the ocean and it's red from all the blood. And the blood is in the ocean because imagine a bunch of sharks in this ocean. It's so many sharks. They're all biting each other. They're all trying to get a little piece of the action, a little piece of the pie. So they're just fighting.
Yeah.
And I think that a red ocean is a lot like, I don't know, I kind of think like our 401ks, our IRAs are kind of like these red ocean things. Like, we don't even know sometimes the fees that are coming out. Everybody's kind of got their way of getting a piece of the pie. This is my opinion. I'm not. But like where you make a lot of your money is when you go to an area that's a blue ocean. And you mentioned following trends. So that's what made me think of that. You said you got to know how to follow trends, which I 100% agree with. So if you know how to follow trends, you're looking for where's an area that isn't a red ocean yet where everybody knows about it and everybody's trying to get a piece of the action and all this attention is on it. But where is the blue ocean? Where is the like, hey, there's like one guy way over there and there's one guy here and there's one guy there, but nobody's killing each other yet over this investment asset class. That's where co-living is. It's a blue ocean. It's a new opportunity and it's gaining a lot of traction. You started off by mentioning PadSplit. You know, they're at, I think they just hit 9,000 rooms in like 35 cities. They're blowing up. There's a company called Bungalow. There's another company called, Common. There's a company called Homeroom. They're doing it. They're out of Raleigh. I think they have a couple thousand rooms. There's, you know, but thousands of rooms all over the United States. Not that many, but they're starting to gain this traction. And it's like Airbnb back in 2011.
Yeah,
that's how I'm thinking about this asset class right now.
I love it, man. Well, you know what, man? I think that people need to ultimately get into something like this, especially if they wanna, again, know what the trends are, innovate, and ultimately know what your customer avatar wants and get into the blue ocean. Even myself, I really want to have a conversation with you on how I can do it here in Florida, you know what I mean? Or how I can do it in Michigan, which is where I invest too. Yeah. And ultimately this is a very, very good way for you to speed up the process on your, you know, ultimately the revenue that you generate, see real estate in a different way, right? Connect with people that are, you know, as brilliant as mine, as Sam Weggert is and his mastermind. Now I want to make sure that people understand how can people reach you? How can people find you? And what would they find inside of your program?
Yeah. Everybody that works with me or my team gets started in exactly the same way. We don't take clients or students or whatever you want to call, you know, other than this way I'm about to describe. We do a free event, usually every month. It's not every month, but usually every month. It's called a 5-day challenge and it is completely free. You can buy like a checklist or whatever, but it's completely free. It is 5 days of pure gold nuggets and content all about achieving financial freedom through this model. And, you know, and then during that event, we will present an offer. And if people want to continue on beyond that, but the free event you can get is www.scaleyourrealestate.com. And you can just register. Usually there's a waiting list right now. I think we have a waiting list for the next challenge, but you can just get on the waiting list and that would be the best way to start. In that 5 days, you're going to learn what does the perfect co-living home actually look like and how do I find it? How do I finance these homes even if I don't have the cash right now for the down payment? And then how do you keep a home like this clean, quiet, and safe so that people beg to stay in your home, so that you have a waiting list of people to stay in your home? How do you do that? And that's really what a lot of the content is built around. And so it's very valuable and I would highly recommend. And it's our gift to spread the word. And I'll say this one thing, and that is that what's beautiful about this model, and I know today we've talked a lot about the money, the aspect, the financial freedom, but I lived in these homes for 13 and a half years. I lived in co-living. When my wife met me, I had 6 roommates. She was like, what are you doing here? Like, this is weird. And I was like a working professional. I was making 6 figures in my job. She's like, you know, you can afford your own place, right? And I was like, yeah, but I'm like making a lot of money to live here. And she laughed. And then she was like, yeah, if you want this to work, we need to get our own place. I was like, okay, okay. And then we got our own house. But I say that to say, this model is truly providing people an opportunity to live in a more affordable way, to spend more money on experiences, to live in a way that's clean and quiet and safe, and it's providing housing. So you can put your head to bed every night knowing you're kind of creating a community in these homes is really what you're doing, in a way that's serving the world and helping solve affordable housing. And by the way, that's not just me saying that. The U.S. Department for Housing and Urban Development, HUD, we all know HUD, January 15th of 2021, HUD came out and said, we believe co-living can solve affordable housing in America, and everybody needs to look at it seriously. And not only that, we will pay and we will allow for housing choice vouchers, otherwise known as Section 8, they used to be called Section 8, to be used for a room, not a whole house or an apartment. So that was a huge like step in the right direction for this model. And a lot of people don't know that. And so it's about the money, but you're being a social entrepreneur. You're making a lot of money, but you're doing well. You're putting good into the community. You're putting good back out into the world. And that's, frankly, I love that just as much as I do the money.
Dude, I love it. Sign me up.
Let's go. All right. Sounds good.
All right. ScaleYourRealEstate.com.
Yeah. ScaleYourRealEstate.com. Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity to share that.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Everyone that listened to this podcast, if you liked it, if you got some sort of value, I'd love to have this guy once again, maybe dive into like a few things, but it seems like the challenge that he has those days is going to be really good for you. So go and sign up. I can't wait to go to the Family Mastermind with Sam coming soon. I think it's in March of 2024. I'm not 100% sure, but you know, meet him and you know, even get started on co-living. Like, this would be really, really surreal for a lot of us and game changer. So thank you guys for listening to this podcast, the REIpreneurs podcast, previously called Online Hustlers. But now we're turning to true REIpreneurs. All right, guys. So thank you for listening. Again, it's not going to take any effort whatsoever if you share this with your circle. 60 seconds to give us a review, or think about what do you think about this type of episodes and so on, the type of guests and the type of value that you get. We're trying to extract as much possible as fast as possible for you to retain stuff. Remember, listen, read, watch, get demonstration from it. Then you can ultimately maybe discuss it, and then you can teach it to others. That's how you retain information. So guys, subscribe to this channel if you're on YouTube, or just follow us and make sure that you give us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you, Sam Weggert.